Radio, big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. I'm your aptly named host and the podfather of your favorite hebdomadal podcast. It's July, it's nonprofit radio. We've got the live music, and that can only mean one thing. It's our 800th show and 16th anniversary show. It's the Jubilee!
Woo!
We have a listener of the week, Timothy Curran. He messaged me on LinkedIn. Tim said, "I'm new to the nonprofit space and have found your podcast valuable in educating myself on what fundraisers find valuable. Maybe more importantly, how good ones strategize." Oh, Tim, you are in the right place for nonprofit strategy, for understanding how nonprofits are coping, what they are thinking about. And I am so glad to have you as our listener of the week for the 800th show and the 16th anniversary Jubilee. Thank you for being our listener of the week, Tim Curran. Here's our associate producer, Kate, with what's coming up for show number 800 and the 16th anniversary Jubilee.
Hey, Tony. Your co-host is Claire Meyerhoff. We've got much more live music from Scott Stein. Our contributors, Gene Takagi and Amy Sample Ward, are here. Everyone is with us.
Woo! Thank you very much, Kate. Claire Meyerhoff, welcome to the 800th show. Our creative producer, welcome.
I'm so excited to be here because as our listeners know, I was there from the very beginning. The idea for nonprofit radio happened it was brought to me at a Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in North Carolina in 1900.
Yes, and why did I bring it to Claire Meyerhoff? Because she has a background in radio, in media, including WTOP in Washington, D.C., and also with Sirius. You'll find Claire Meyerhoff's company is at pgagency.com, and she is Nonprofit Radio's creative producer. Claire, your first show was show number two July 23rd of 2010.
We talked about
storytelling and jargon. 16 years.
Well, and that's when we threw people in jargon jail. And jargon jail is still extremely relative today in all fields, really, because I see a lot of things on the Instagram and little things where people talk about, you know, corporate jargon and how to, like, say it more, you know, communicate more effectively. So I think we were like trendsetters with throwing nonprofit peeps in jargon jail.
And jargon jail continues. So, absolutely, we did set the bar,
yes.
And when a guest transgresses, I do admit them to jargon jail.
Yes, like capacity building. Does it have windows?
Well, that one's an exception. But yes, yeah, jargon or acronyms. Acronyms will also land you in jargon jail. Unidentified acronyms.
They're like BLT. Then, like, we know what that is.
BLT.
If it's a sandwich, but if it's like, you know, board leadership development or board leadership torture.
Torture training, right. That qualifies you. Absolutely. That qualifies you. Let's bring some folks in. Let's bring Amy Sample Ward in. They are our technology contributor and, of course, the CEO of N10, awarded a 2023 Bosch Foundation Fellowship, their most recent co-authored book, The Tech That Comes Next, about equity and inclusiveness in technology development. You'll find Amy on Blue Sky as Amy Sample Ward. Amy Sample Ward, whose first show was number 100 on July 13th, 2012. Welcome.
So easy to remember. It was show 100.
Yeah, you do have the easy one. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, when we get to Scott, it's like 158. But yeah, show number 100. Absolutely.
In New York.
700 shows ago in the studio in New York. That's right.
Up the tiny elevator.
In the tiny elevator. It was like this big.
Right. Yeah. Right. That was
I always really thought it would break. And I would live in that elevator in New York City.
You would just be emaciated in the elevator. That was
in the building.
That was on West 72nd Street with Sam Leibowitz.
Yeah, Leibowitz.
Yeah. Sam Leibowitz. Yeah. Yep. You remember those days?
Yeah.
That was, you were living in New York City then.
I know. Time, it just
16 years ago.
Wow.
Wow.
That seems impossible. Don't do the math anymore in this show.
All right. It's good to see you. I'm glad you're with us.
I'm glad to be here to celebrate the Jubilee.
Thank you. Gene Takagi. Everybody knows. It's kind of a waste of syllables to continue saying it, but of course, each contributor deserves their due intro. He's our legal contributor and the principal of NEO, the nonprofit and exempt organizations law group in San Francisco. He edits that wildly popular nonprofitlawblog.com. You'll find the firm at NEO Law Group, and you'll find Gene as at GTAC, whose first show was number 7 on August 27th of 2010.
Wow.
Welcome, Gene. It's great to see you. Great to have you.
Congratulations, Tony. Unbelievable run. And to continue further. So excited to be with you, Tony.
Thank you. I love these anniversary shows. They bring the team together. Scott Stein, whose song Cheap Red Wine has been with us, debuted on show number 158 on September 16th of 2013. Scott's a pianist, songwriter, music director. You'll find him at scottsteinmusic.com, on Facebook, X, Instagram, and YouTube. He's at Scott Stein Music. Great to see you, Scott.
Great to see you too, Tony. And this is something that I look forward to every year. This is so much fun, and I'm just thrilled that the show has continued to grow and thrive, and that I get to keep coming back on and doing my thing. This is super fun.
It's a thrill. Thank you. I'm so glad our mutual lawyer friend.
It's Josh Becker.
Josh. Exactly.
My old roommate. That was the connection.
Connected us, and we've been using Cheap Red Wine ever since September 16th of 2013. And of course, thank you for the live intro music. You're going to be doing 3 songs for us today, right?
I am. Yeah, excited to do it.
All right. Cool. Kate Martinetti. She's our associate producer. She's a graduate of the American Musical and Dramatic Academy, now attending Rowan University. Kate's first show was number 645 on June 19th of 2023. Just kind of started as something fun while I was visiting the family in New Jersey. And I liked the sound that you brought to the show, Kate.
Right. We were in the guest room because we needed somewhere quiet between like the dogs, and then I don't know if it was a holiday you were over or just visiting for something. And we were like, okay, there's people in the house. Kind of loud. Let's go upstairs, you know. And you had your little mic, which I have now. and we just did it. And it was right after I graduated, too. And you were like, let's see how this sounds. And let's use, like, your skills that you were working on in AMDA. And now we're here.
Number 645 was your first show. Unbelievable. Yeah. So all these years, and we're celebrating 16, Claire is bringing the fun to our 16 theme. What do you have for us? Brilliant, creative producer.
Oh yes. Well, you know, in a flash of brilliance, because it's the 16th show, it's the Sweet 16 party. So that's just, you know, the most brilliantly creative. So I have compiled a list of 16 sweet things to say to sweet Tony about.
Yeah, and play us in for a little music, Scott. Just play us into the Sweet 16 theme.
Mm-hmm.
you. Beautiful.
So sweet.
What a transition. Claire, our sweet 16, please.
So number one on our list of 16 sweet things about Tony's 16th year of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Number one is it's very sweet to thank all our listeners for being with us for our 16th anniversary. Yay, listeners.
You got to thank the listeners.
Listeners, you got nothing.
Well, there's a word for a podcast that nobody listens to.
What's
diary.
That?
Yeah, we are not producing a diary for 16 years. No. So, of course, we are enormously grateful to the listeners.
And we have so many listeners. How many listeners do we have, Tony?
Over 13,000 a week.
Wow, over 13,000 a week. For each episode, like 13. And then do people go back and listen to the old ones? So do we have a surprising statistic maybe about, an old show that people listen to because you get little pings about it or something?
I do have a surprise for listeners. I don't go back and look at the stats. That's my surprise.
Well, that's
We're producing the show. You know, I look from time to time. I do look from time to time.
In the moment.
I'm not overly, not overly concerned about it. Yeah. I guess maybe you're supposed to be more sophisticated. Like, say, all right, this topic, we had a spike because we talked about whatever, and so we should do more of that. I don't know, but it could be the guest was particularly good. It could be. It would happen to be a good time of year. People listening, the listeners know that they're suffering under a lackluster host. That's understood. That's understood.
You can't be, witty and sweet and like a technology person like Amy. So you can't be everything.
Thank you. Data scientist.
So, what's sweet is that we've had more than 1,000 guests, and they've been so sweet to share their expertise with our listeners. So we've had over 1,000 guests, I'm sure. Like, I just kind of did some very simple math for me, which is, simple is the only math I know. So I did a little simple math, and I figured it is more than 1,000 guests, most likely.
This is where you go back to the lackluster host who doesn't know exactly how many guests there have been.
It's 1,000.
It's 1,000 plus. It's certainly hundreds. It's certainly 1,000 plus. 1,200, maybe. Is it 1,500? I'm not sure.
It'd be cool to have like a whole list of like all your guests on the show, all these experts. And some people have been, I guess, multiple times. So you'd have to count them. So for right now, our first three, which is our last one for this little chunk, is that, 50 episodes a year for 16 years. Well, that is very, very sweet and very, shows the dedication of our sweet host, Tony Martinetti, that he puts this podcast on every single week, except for 2 weeks when you, I guess, take a vacation or something.
Yeah. So
50 eps a year. That's amazing.
Well, but the guests help, Gene and Amy help, right? Kate is with me every single week. That helps.
But we're not the pod father, Tony.
No.
That's all you. No,
well, true. You're right. But the guests, I mean, without you can't, I don't think you could sustain a show 50 times a year with only the host.
Right.
You got to have the guests. I mean, I think to me that's boring. That sounds like a journal again. I think we're diarying then.
Yeah, but you get you take on the role of all the listeners, and you get to ask the guests the questions that everybody wishes they were asking that person. Mm-hmm. So you do a sweet job of doing that, taking on the role for listeners.
So thoughtful. Well, and you're with me several times a year, and I'm grateful for that. As is Gene. Several times a year, because we're all doing it for the listeners. I mean, it all settles down to the community, right? We're just trying to help the nonprofit community in a particularly difficult time now. However, we've been doing it for 16 years. It's all for the good of the folks, the nonprofit professionals, our CEOs, our fundraisers, our board members. And there's some consultants who listen too. We're just trying to do right by the community, and we are channeling them. All of us are channeling them. You and Gene are channeling our listeners too. When you're on, right? We're just thinking about what would people ask? We're bringing them into the conversation as best we can. What would they want to know? Thank you, Claire, for our first three of our first three Sweet 16s. We're going to turn to our the show's. I don't know. Is it right? You are a music director. Can I call you music director once a year?
Sure. Once a year, yes, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, he is the music director. He helped us out on cues and things. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely the music director for the 800th show. What's this first song you're going to play for us, Scott?
I'm actually going to play a brand new one. This is called "Take the Back Roads," and it's basically how the proverbial grass is greener on the other side, and as you get older, you start thinking that maybe things were easier when you were younger, and then you start to realize maybe that wasn't the case, and so you just kind of are left with the present. So,
new song? Is there a new album coming?
Not at the moment.
Okay.
I would love to do it. My financial resources are going elsewhere at the moment. But
I understand. You also have a family. All right.
That's true.
All right. Scott Stein, "Take the Back Roads." Thank you.
Outstanding, Scott. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. My mind always wants to take the back roads. When will that be available?
That's a great question. I don't have any plans to go in the studio right now. So maybe at some point in the future.
All right. Well, check out all of Scott.
But I'll be playing it live a week from Sunday, July 5th, as part of the Operation Gig concert series in Ditmas Park here in Brooklyn.
Oh.
So
outstanding.
You can see me with my trio.
All right, and more of Scott's music is, of course, where would you expect it to be? But ScottSteinMusic.com.
Indeed.
Claire,
yeah.
You want to play us in a little bit, Scott? A little more sweet? We got a little intro to the...
Oh, of course.
Got to keep up our rituals.
Well, he's our music director, so he should make the decisions about the music. He is. We have some more on our list of sweet 16 sweet things about Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. And number four on that list is, aw, Tony is sweet for his kindness to guests and listeners alike. Tony is very kind and very nice to his very gracious, all his guests. He truly is. He's just very gracious and asks, questions in a probing but polite way. And has a lot of talent with his sweetness. And number five is we use the term radio instead of podcast because radio is like vintage sounding, and that's very sweet. Like I think Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio instead of like the nonprofit podcast. Like I think the radio just sounds really just.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a minute. Yeah, because I grew up loving radio.
Yeah, me too.
WNEW, WPLJ in New York City. They were both classic rock, album rock oriented AOR stations. How about you all? What Scott? What music did you grow up with?
Oh man, that's a long list. My father is now retired, but he was the cantor of our synagogue for a long, long time, and professional cantor. So I grew up with a lot of like a Jewish music. I grew up with a lot of classical music, a lot of Broadway. Not very much rock and roll, surprisingly. I had to find my way on that. But I will say that a lot of the artists that I love, I was introduced to thanks to a public radio station. So shout out to WAPS 91.3 in Akron, Ohio, my hometown. It really helped shape my tastes.
Awesome, WAPS. Yeah, I remember also growing up with public radio WNYC. Mm-hmm. How about you, Gene? Early radio influences for you, or music influences?
I grew up in Vancouver. C-Fun, shout out to C-Fun, probably not around anymore. But I listened to a lot of jazz, and I was at the Village Vanguard yesterday. Shout out to jazz in NYC.
You're in New York City now, yeah?
Just for a few days.
For a few days. Village Vanguard is, that's an institution. That's like Birdland is another jazz institution in New York City. How about you, Amy? Would early radio, any early music...
I didn't listen to the radio as a kid. My dad exclusively listened to blues and reggae, and we never listened to the radio. He was always curating, whether at the house or in the car, which record or which, like he had a very extensive record to tape to CD, as times evolved. There was everything had a copy on every mode.
Yeah.
So it wasn't
he was your DJ then. He was your DJ.
Yes, all the time. And really, it meant I didn't know there was other music than blues and reggae because that's all there was until I was 16 and could drive myself. And then I was like, oh, if you just push these buttons, they just play music. Someone else curates the music,
Yeah.
But we have always, since then and now as an adult, have always listened to OPB, which is Oregon Public Broadcasting, even when we lived in England, because it felt very like, oh, we're still at home if we're listening to OPB, you know?
Cool.
Yeah, right. You can hang on to the rituals, the ritual of being home, even living abroad.
Exactly. Yes.
Kate, how about your early music?
Mostly it was mom and dad picking the station, but it was definitely like the one that I can remember is 102.9 MGK. I think that's classic rock.
Magic. MGK in New Jersey. Okay. Yes. MGK. Do you still listen to MGK type album rock or no?
When it's on, but if I can get my aux cord to work, then no. Then I'm on my Amazon playlist.
Right. Okay. Okay.
From another year, Kate said that her mom liked Bon Jovi. Am I correct with that? That's right?
Correct.
That.
Yep.
Like, yeah, man, Bon Jovi.
I think there's a New Jersey law that says
yes.
you have to, right? Him and Springsteen.
Yes. Yes, that would be true, probably.
Go ahead, Claire. Some more sweet 16.
I'm from Long Island, so it's like I grew up like a town over from Billy Joel's hometown of Hicksville, and so Billy Joel is like the religion growing up, and it was kind of in the earlier days of Billy Joel. And my friends and I, we always talk about how we went to go see him at the Hofstra, CW Post at the Dome, and then a couple of years later, that dome caved in from too much snow. So like that's the show like we kind of always talk about, because then there was this big like catastrophe, but no one was hurt, so thank God.
There's a classic rock song that a lot of people listen to at the holidays from CW Post. Bruce Springsteen's recording
right, that Christmas song.
Santa Claus is coming to town.
That's from 1970 something. I'm pretty sure it's the 70s, and it's from CW Post on Long Island.
Yeah. I think we went in, I'm aging myself, but I think we went in like 1977 or 78, and I think the dome caved in like in 1980 or something. But yeah, Springsteen played there. I'm sure if I polled my friends on Facebook, I bet I have 10 friends at least that went to that
concert. And 50 who will say they were there. All right.
Yeah, right. Okay. So,
go ahead.
All right. So my next number six on our list of Sweet 16 is about Gene, that he is so sweet for sharing his legal knowledge with all our listeners and us who are not attorneys. And he sweetly translates this, you know, complicated issues for us to bring it right back down to earth, where we need to be able to use this information that Gene shares with us. So Gene is extremely sweet for that.
That's me applauding Gene. Absolutely. Gene is, you know, yeah, you explain things so people can understand them. You bring us important legal happenings, trends. Sometimes it's very detailed and sometimes it's bigger picture. You're the best, Gene. You're the best legal contributor we've ever had.
It's so well. He's the only one we've ever had, but of course he's.
Well, I'll give Gene a chance to.
But Gene also explains things very calmly. You know.
Yeah.
He doesn't get all worked up. Tony and I sometimes get all worked up, and Gene is just a voice of reason. You know.
He's the voice of reason.
You are calm, Gene. Gene. Oh, Gene Gene, the law machine. I used to call him that, but I think it made him blush, so I stopped.
I love the Gong Show reference. So.
The Gong Show reference.
That's where it's from. Gene, remember, it was Gene Gene, the dancing machine, was on the Gong Show with Gene Barry. I'm pretty sure that's the host of that was Gene, was another Gene. But yes, that's where I got.
Gene Rayburn, Gene Barry.
No, Gene Rayburn was The Price is Right.
Okay.
No, wait. No, he was Match Game. No, Gene Rayburn.
Doesn't matter.
Harris.
Barris was the host of the Gong Show. Thank
Gene
you.
Gene Barry was a Western star.
All right. Okay. Gene, where I got Gene from.
All
okay.
Our pop stuff is just floating around in our old heads, me and Tony.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead, Claire. Give us some more.
Our baby boomer heads.
It's time for a break. We are sponsored by The Bridge Conference, produced by AFPDC and DMAW, July 29 to 31 at the Gaylord National Resort and Convention Center in National Harbor, Maryland. More than 2,400 professionals will gather at Bridge. Tony will be with them. The question is, will you? Thought leaders from nonprofits, associations, foundations, hospitals, higher ed, faith-based, and mission-driven causes across the country come to Bridge to discover new ideas, solve real challenges, and connect with smart people shaping the future of our industry. From 125-plus educational sessions and hands-on pre-conference workshops to Bridge Tech, the Faith and Fundraising Forum, and inspiring keynote speakers, Bridge offers something for every mission and every role. The conversations happening at Bridge will shape strategies, careers, and organizations long after the conference ends. Don't hear about it afterward. Be in the room. Register at bridgeconf.org.
You know, it's also sweet. Number seven is sweet that Tony is an attorney who's an expert in planned giving. He could have gone a lot of ways with his law career, but focusing on this estate planning and planned giving, he's helped so many charities with my favorite form of fundraising, which is bequests and other deferred gifts. And so thank you, Tony, for being, it's very sweet that you chose planned giving and estate planning and charitable estate planning as your expertise in the wonderful world of law,
where you
could have been an ambulance chaser.
I'm so glad I did. Yeah, I would never be an ambulance chaser, but practicing law just didn't work out for me. But the practice of planned giving fundraising, absolutely. I've loved it since 1997.
And sweet that not only did you pursue this path, you've also wrapped up a bunch of your knowledge in a book.
Yes. That was unscripted. That was very thoughtful. Very thoughtful.
Yes.
Thank you. Yes, I have a
book. I appreciate getting to read it early and tell you things that I didn't like, and then you fix them all.
That's good. Good editor.
I mean, who else, you know? But sweet Tony Martinetti would say, oh, I hear all of your complaints and I've addressed all of them.
Yes.
I hope I did. Yes. You were a very gracious beta reader, early reader of the book, along with, as was Claire and as was Jean. Thank you very much. The book is publishing in September. Yes. Planned Giving Accelerated.
Yes.
Thank you.
Our number eight is about Amy Sample Ward, who's here for our anniversary show. And Amy's so sweet for sharing all her like technology and trend. Like, you really know what's going on, like more than we do. Like, cause Tony and I are more like over here, but you're over here with all your like super duper knowledge. So thank you for being so sweet to share all your knowledge with us. It's fantastic. So then
Well, I have to say that I've always admired Amy because she sees the mic, because they see the micro as well as the bigger picture. I tend to focus on examples, and they see the forest while I'm looking at a tree.
Right.
I've shouted you out for that. Yeah. You see trends and things that the rest of us don't catch. You talk to a lot of people in the field.
No.
Thank you.
Thank you, Amy. So, and you know what is also sweet? Let's send out some love to Kate for her sweet voice and her sweet skills. She's brought such a nice, you know, compliments the Tony Martinetti aesthetic very, very, very well. And it's very nice to have you here. And your addition has been just really sweet. I've just so enjoyed having you on board. And I know Tony really appreciates you because you do all these things now that he doesn't have to. So that's amazing. And you're getting very good experience for your resume and your LinkedIn profile. And I'll help you beef that up if you need help with that, because I'm not good at that. So that's very sweet. And of course, Scott's sweet tunes truly elevate, to use another like buzzword. He elevates the show. Elevates. That's the new thing. Elevates.
Elevates. I hadn't heard that one, but he does. Yeah, it works. It works. It works with Scott. Yeah. I've just, you know, like I said, Scott, I love the music. I love the song Cheap Red Wine. You know, it's just, we're just like cheap red wine. There's nobody waiting in line. We're just like cheap red wine. You know, that, there's no,
I like that.
Yeah, there's no
song.
I wrote, to, to, to make a Billy Joel reference, I've referred to that record as being from my angry young man period.
Oh, angry young man.
Very, very kind of snarky and cynical as a 20-something.
Yeah, right. No, I think that's really cute.
But now, as you're looking back, you're doing take the back roads.
Yeah.
As you're reflecting after 20 some years.
As a wise, I don't know about wise, older veteran. I don't know if I'm any wiser, but
right.
I'm sure you're wiser. So, I guess I'm sweet number 11 for lovingly making this list, because I threw out this idea to Tony. I was like, okay, sweet 16. Now I have to come up with 16 things. But I did. I sat on the couch. Came up with the 16 things.
Thank you, Claire Meyerhoff. You always bring it for our anniversary shows.
A little something.
And, thank you.
You know, it's so sweet, number 12, that we're here together once again for the 800th show. This is just the sweetest thing. I love this. Like every year I see the same people and it's really, really cool. We're like a little, you know, like a little gang. Like
it's our tradition. Yes. Amy, thank you. You had to do some calendar magic to be with us, but you know that we would have rescheduled the recording if you could not have made it. Absolutely, there's no we'll do it without any one of you. No, this doesn't happen that way.
Can't. Like the Brady Bunch. Six.
It wouldn't be a jubilee without all of us.
It would not. It would just be a jube. A jubal. You can't have a jubal, a 16th jubal anniversary. No, you got to have the full jubilee.
That's funny.
Jubilee. Absolutely. So
that's it on my list for right at the moment. How are we doing on time?
I think we're doing quite well. It's time actually for Scott to do a second song.
Yes.
All right.
Intro it please for us. What are we going to hear?
Sure. Since we've been talking about the song Cheap Red Wine, which actually came out back in 2009, I thought it would be fun to do another song from that same album. It was a record called Jukebox, and Cheap Red Wine is the first tune on that record. So I'm going to do the second one. This is a song, it's called Wish I Knew, and I went through a period where I just thought, if I could write something that sounds like Carole King, I think I'd be pretty happy with that. So there are a lot of Carole King type chords in here. You'll hear that, so.
All right. Wish I knew. Thank you.
Lord knows how hard I'm trying. Oh. Hey, hey, hey.
Outstanding. Thank you, Scott.
That was great.
Really good. I could definitely hear the Carole King influence. I'm really digging that you're kind of tapping into those types, because I feel like your previous song was a little Jim Croce, maybe.
Okay. So,
or something like that. Like, it reminded me of you know, sort of that era. And I think that's a great time in music, and some of those artists.
Yeah, I mean, that stuff's timeless.
Fantastic.
Really,
like, yeah, if they put those songs out today, it'd be better than anything today. That's just my boomer opinion.
I think you hear their influence, actually. There's some folks out there making stuff that like you can tell who's been listening to that era.
Yeah.
So
you hear it today.
I think there's. I still keep my. I don't listen to as much of contemporary stuff as I used to, but I still feel like it's. It's like part of my job to like keep my ear to the ground and kind of pick out the stuff that I like, you know, even if I'm not the target audience anymore.
Right. Well, like Harry Styles has done a few covers, like I think Bridge Over Troubled Water a few things like that. And they're really popular. I mean, well, everyone loves Harry Styles,
I'm a parent. Sorry, I didn't mention. I'm a parent too, so I'm always like, there's stuff that my kids like. That there's plenty that I'm like, oh geez, now I know how my parents felt. But like every once in a while, like my older kid's only 7, but like he'll go like, oh, I want to play this song, and like every once in a while, like I get pleasantly surprised. I'm like, all right, there's that dude's got some, you know, he's got some vocal chops. There's some interesting production things happening. Yeah, there's good music in every era. They're always.
I want a Scott Stein version of a Music Together album. Do you know Music Together?
Yeah, it's
the kids' music.
When I first moved to New York, actually, I had a day job. I was working at like, you know, it wasn't Music Together, but it was like kind of a company that was trying to do something very similar. I was an accompanist, and I, you know, the funny thing is now I'm way more. I probably would be way more excited to do that now, because I have like a 7-year-old. Well, my 7-year-old would be too old for it, but like I have a 4-year-old.
Yeah.
You know? So I get that a lot more intuitively than I did when I was like 24 or 25.
Right.
You know, and it was like, oh God, I got to play this again. You know, I just want to rock, man.
Yeah. Play us in for a little more Sweet 16, please, Scott, for our third and final Sweet 16.
I wish I could sing. He can sing.
Claire, what do you have for us?
Well, all I have to say is cake. Cake is sweet. And did anybody here bring a cake for the Sweet 16 party? Where is the cake? Tony?
We can blow out the candles. How about that?
I want a Carvel cake.
Oh, Carvel is good. Ice cream. They're decadent. They're decadent.
I can eat a whole little Carvel cake all by myself. So live listener love is inherently sweet.
I love the live listener. Yeah, today. Tim. Today, Tim Curran messaged me on LinkedIn. Yeah, I love to shout out the live listener love.
That's a
good
thing.
They are. You know, there's special messages I get. Sometimes it's like this one's LinkedIn. I get emails from time to time, or folks just a comment.
Yeah,
something shout. Comment. You know, just saying how much the show means to them. Sometimes some folks bring it to their board. I've had folks say that show I had my board members listen to that, or it brought up a conversation among our board. To me, that's a home run episode.
Yes.
You know, if it's moving folks to a conversation.
Yes. And validates things perhaps this communications director or whoever have been thinking and saying, but their board wasn't really listening. So when we have an expert on our show who says something, that validates it. And then they can bring that to their board or their boss. And that validation is extremely, extremely important in nonprofits. Nonprofits come sometimes, you know, a little bit behind the times. They don't make decisions fast. They're not nimble, right? They have like committees, endless committees and subcommittees, and things don't get done. So, you know, when you get that good advice and you can just act on it and get that validation, then you can move forward much more quickly.
Well, Tony, back to the point I made earlier about you championing or taking on the role of listeners and asking guest questions we've talked about before, like some of the value of the podcast, of the radio show, sorry.
It's a pod.
Is the practice of the conversation so that people can go to a, you know, team meeting or staff meeting or board meeting and have already had one practice through what this conversation might look like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. It can kind of. Well, help you coach you through what might come up and some talking points. Yeah, very good. Yeah,
you know, the longevity of your show makes you a very trusted resource for people and a trusted voice. You can say to your boss, "This podcast has been on for 16 years, and this is the best people in nonprofits have been on this podcast." It's not like, you know, some lady who or let's some guy who just like has a podcast and it's like the second episode. It's your validation is really backed up by your. You know, your history of guests and the longevity of your show is amazing. Like I always tell people when they talk about podcasts, I say, well, Tony Martinetti has this podcast. He's been doing 50 episodes a year, you know, once a week for 16 years. Like that's hard to do without like a whole team of people and all that. So
Tony is the sweetest masochist.
The sweetest masochist I've ever met.
Well, we have a great team. We have a great team. But yeah, it just, you know, the consistency just helps me do it. If I wasn't consistent, I'd put it off. It's summertime, June, July. Maybe we'll come back in September. You know, it's the holidays. I'll just take the month of December off. You know, I need the consistency just helps me. So thank you. Thanks, everybody. I accept your gracious comments about me and the show. Very thoughtful. What else you got there, Claire?
For number 15, you know, just thinking about what Amy Sample Ward said is that your new book was lovingly prepared to help even the tiniest nonprofits realize sweet bequests with plan giving strategies that are doable and do it now. I've been in plan giving for about, a little bit longer than the show maybe. Because that's how I first met Tony. I was writing an article and I found Tony and I said, hey, can I, you know, talk to you about this? And then you became like a resource for me. I'd call him up from my car and go, oh, I'm doing this. I'm writing a postcard about charitable gift annuities and blah, blah, blah. And Tony would explain things to me. So I seemed like I knew more than what I did. And so, you know, I love plan giving, and Tony's part of my plan giving journey and a very important part of that journey. And we feel the same way about small nonprofits, that they can get these sweet bequests, because your donors are going to leave their money and their assets to somebody. And if you don't let them know, if you don't engage them and communicate with them and have conversations with them, they don't know. They just don't know you're in the game. So they're going to leave it all to Harvard or whatever and not the local dog shelter that they actually care about more. So we are on the same mission, Tony and I, to educate and inform people about the wonderful world of planned giving. So I'll turn it over for the last 16th, our sweet 16th. I'm going to let Tony offer up something sweet. So did you think about that at all, Tone?
I did. Well, thank you for what you just said. I've loved our time together collaborating. I've brought you in on a client or two through the years. And again, you'll find Claire, pgagency.com. Stands for planned giving, of course.
Yes.
Brilliant marketer. Brilliant marketer.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I'm turning it back to our listeners again for number 16 because I don't want to have a diary. I'm not a good diary. I don't journal. I don't diary. So I need you. I need you to listen. Otherwise, this show is going to become a diary. We can't have that. No. Grateful that you listen. And pleased and gratified that it helps you. It helps you in your work. It helps you in your relationships with your coworkers. It helps you in your relationship with the whole community, with your donors. We're in a relationship business. You know, even if you're funded mostly by foundations, you have relationships with people at those foundations. I so much of what we do is just based on people and our relationships with them in all the different networks that we have. The networks are people. So I'm glad that the show is helping you, and I thank you for giving back by listening. And we still got some time, so I'm going to turn around to our esteemed panel and our anniversary show celebrities. Who else has a sweet? Throw out something sweet. We'll do more than 16 sweets. Who's got something?
It's sweet that you keep coming back to the NTC as a source of interviewing many, many very smart people who are sweet to offer all of their expertise to the community through your platform.
Thank you. I love our relationship that we have between Nonprofit Radio and N10. Yeah, I believe it's 13 years. I'm pretty sure this year was the 13th year. And next year in Portland will be the 14th year that Nonprofit Radio is at N10. It's already on my calendar. Yeah.
Great.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, but we love it because it also adds value for the community, hearing from people they otherwise wouldn't hear from. And many of those speakers that you select for the show are even people you've never talked to before. So they're new in all those ways. And I think that is really valuable. I mean, speaking to Claire's point of 16 whole years of doing this is just, if you talk to the same three people, if you only talk to Gene and I every show, God, no one would listen to the show, you know, but you're always bringing on lots more people, and that there are people with expertise all across the sector. So
it's a joy. Thank you. Thank you. Who else? Who's got something sweet?
I was looking through my office the other day.
Hold on, Gene. Right, Kate, you go, and then Gene.
I found, and I was talking to my uncle about this, I found my first little note from my first payment. And it says, congratulations on your first payment for your first paying gig, Tony.
Aww.
And it is 7/7/23. And I've been keeping every single note that he's given me and every little encouragement, you know, because his generosity and kindness is so overwhelmingly abundant. And
thank you. It's not even time for your birthday gift or Christmas gift. Imagine that. Oh, yes. Well, because your first show was June 19th of 2023. And yes, I like to include notes to vendors. You're more than a vendor, but when I have to send checks to people, I don't like to just put a check in the mail. I like to put a little post-it note on, even if it just says thank you.
It's more personal thank you. That way.
You keep every one of those?
Every single one in a little baggie.
Make a collage, like a really cool collage, maybe on your fifth anniversary or something. Make a collage.
Notes from the Podfather.
That'd be a cool piece of art.
Thank you very much. I'm glad you're with us. Gene, you had something sweet.
throw in and add on to your generosity, Tony. So, and every year, Tony is so generous to make out a contribution to my and to Amy's some of our favorite charities. And people don't know that, but really super appreciated, Tony. So thank you for your generosity to your audience and your generosity to us.
Including this last year, Tony donated specifically for scholarships to the NTC, which helped us provide more scholarships than we ever had at a time when, of course, the sector is experiencing lots and lots of financial loss.
It's
Yeah,
a pleasure.
amazing stuff, Tony. Thank you.
It's a pleasure to do that for the two of you year after year. Thank you, Gene. It's a joy. It's this whole thing is a joy. I don't know. All right, you're getting me misty. But thank you.
It took
It's all
us
right.
50 minutes in to get you to cry. We failed the Jubilee.
Right, thank you. Scott, everybody knows that you gotta take us out of the 800th show and the 16th anniversary Jubilee with nothing other than the inimitable cheap red wine. Cheap red wine, please.
You got it, and
From the
thank
album,
you.
from the album Jukebox.
Yes, and thank you as always for giving me an opportunity to play and including my music every week. It's just it, this is such a joy. So, with pleasure, here we go. Sooner or later, I'll figure out just what you mean. You're seeking romantic advice from a billboard. I'm looking for answers up on a TV screen. Well, then we can't agree on nothing. We can tell our ups from our downs. We're disappointed in each other. Now tell me, baby, ain't this love that we found? Charming, but I can't figure out how. You said you thought I was handsome, but it doesn't matter now. So keep falling for my punch as long as your time will allow. Cause I love you, got ready promises, a bottle of cheap red wine and now. You know some girls that live with diamonds, and they won't talk to the cut of clothing that I wear. Cheap red wine and thou.
If you missed any part of this week's show,
I beseech you, find it at TonyMartinetti.com. And thank you to everybody. Thanks to each of you for being with us this week. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Our creative producer is Claire Meyerhoff. I'm your associate producer, Kate Martinetti. The show's social media is by Susan Chavez. Mark Silverman is our web guy. And this glorious live music is by Scott Stein.
Yeah!
Thank you for that affirmation, Scotty. Be with us next week for Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Go out and be great.